Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Chasing Your Best. If you're a first-time listener, welcome on board. Basically, it is my goal to help give you tools and resources and best practices to help you with the golf learning curve. And I always want to shoot you straight, give it to you real, no fluff, no BS. Just kind of boil it down to the things that I think can really have the most net impact on your game and bring you the most value for your time. Today, I wanted to bring you my basic process or methodology for how I go about making my decisions when it comes to coaching golf, teaching golf, and just prioritizing what's most important. Because I know if you diagnose or look at your own golf swing, most of us can find a laundry list of things to fix. And that's cool. That's the beginning. But how do you go about prioritizing what's most important for your game? And it's taken a lifetime of coaching for me to get to where I am. So I'm not going to pretend that you can just make the right decisions right away. But certainly, I think you can make more educated decisions, better decisions, and just get you on that path to improvement faster. Now, my basic criteria for teaching golf goes something like this. First off, and most importantly, it's priority number one that we move like a golfer. And when I talk about moving like a golfer, I mean basically you set up in some type of neutral posture. You have forward bend from the waist. You have a little bit of flex in your knees. You grip the club in a way that your grip is in a functioning space. That's a hard one to describe, but basically I would say both of your creases are pointed in between your chin and your trail shoulder, and then your hands are smushed together and your fingers are either overlapped, interlock, or you can even do a 10-finger grip. Or if you're teaching somebody who's brand new, a lady, a kid, just a young adult that might not have a lot of strength yet, it's okay for them to use maybe a hockey style grip where they separate their hands, and then later you can always come back to the grip. But it's important that we set up like a golfer. And one line I use that I think is really, it tells you about your balance, it tells you how that person is seated, is a vertical line drawn straight up from the toes. And that's hard to see without video, but basically if you frame up a video decently and you draw a line up from your toes, it should hit you right in the base of the neck. And that basically says, hey, they're in a decent posture, they're in decent balance, and it's a good starting point for most of us. And then the arms hang relatively straight, and that's a basic setup. Our feet are relatively shoulder width, slightly wider with a driver, slightly shorter with a wedge, and that kind of gets you in the ballpark. Now remember, we're on priority number one. Priority number one is moving like a golfer. It starts with a setup. That is important. And then from that point, it is my goal to have that person turn around a relatively fixed axis where their head's going to remain relatively stable. Their hips aren't going to sway a lot side to side. An inch tops, especially for a beginner. We want those hips to stay relatively stable. And we're going to turn our shoulders back to 90 degrees. And then if you turn your shoulders back to 90 degrees and keeping your head still, you should have some side bend or some side tilt to your shoulders. Meaning that for a right-handed golfer, the left shoulder, the lead shoulder, works underneath the chin in a way that it doesn't make your head move laterally in the golf swing. Now, if you've watched a whole bunch of video and you've analyzed some video, or maybe you're a coach, you've looked at some swings and you say, hey, there are guys that move and gals that move their head laterally. And yeah, that's true. But for our basic premise, we want to start we basically want to set you up for success. And when you're making those type of decisions to say, hey, am I going to allow this player to move their head or not? I think you got to dive deeper down the rabbit hole. And let's just not go there today. We're talking basic premise for decision making. So we want to turn our shoulders 90 degrees and we want our head to stay still, our hips to stay still. And the most gentle shift into the trail foot. And then from that point, we're going to shift our weight. We're going to turn our body and we are going to move in to a finish. And throughout this process, we're trying to keep our arms relatively straight because we want to keep a simple straight line from our lead shoulder to the club. We want to keep the moving parts out of the golf swing, which means keeping the lead arm straight, relatively, not doing anything crazy with your wrists. And we're just trying to minimize moving parts to make it easier to hit the ground in the same spot. And then let's swing through to the finish, and I consider this to be part of the basic motion. The weight should be shifted onto the lead foot, The back should maintain just a little bit of arch back. And your hips should be pushed forward. And you should be able to hold that position, especially after some practice. You should be able to hold that position. Kind of like a statue. It should feel balanced. It should feel right. If you're new to this, if you're just learning that type of finish, you may have some tightness, especially in your hips, in your back. Not a lot of us are used to moving through that range of motion prior to golf. So it's not uncommon to have some tightness trying to get there and to be out of balance when you do get there, because it's just not a dynamic position we're used to getting to. But definitely after some time and some repetition and some understanding and some purposeful practice, you could certainly expect to be able to hold that finish on most of your golf shots. Okay, so priority number one is moving like a golfer. And then priority number two is getting the ball airborne. And to some people, this sounds so silly. Like, oh yeah, you should be able to get the ball airborne. Getting the ball airborne is easy. But here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about legitimately getting it airborne so it looks like a golf shot. So you're hitting the grass in front of the ball. You're hitting the ball near the middle of the club face. And you're creating a shot pattern that looks like a golf shot. It's out there. It's in the air. It's awesome. Because a lot of people skip this step. They want to make the ball fly straight. And I get that. But to make the ball go where you want it to go, learning to hit the middle of your club face, learning to create proper ball first contact goes a really long way. And you can learn to manage your club face later. And the reason I go in this order is because if you first jump to the club face and try to make your ball fly straight, and I'm putting my fingers up in quotation marks, straight, but you're not creating good contact, you're creating compensations for poor contact. So let me run you through a quick example. You hit the ground before the ball, then you hit the ball, and then your ball flies relatively straight, or maybe it even curves a little bit left or draws. Well, in your brain, you may think that you're drawing the ball, you may think that you hit a decent shot, but the reality is you probably came in with a club face that was really open, you hit the ground deflected your club face shut, and then you hit a ball that looks relatively straight to your eyeballs. But the reality is you've lost speed because you hit the ground. You've lost consistency because you cannot repeat that every single time. And the other thing is if you're hitting out a 4-inch rough, then what happens? Then the rough chews up your club and it's just toast. It's gone. It's toasted. So it's really important that you create some kind of contact first. And I'll make an exception to this rule. If a player has a club face that I would consider to be non-functional, meaning that even if they tried to hit it near the middle of the club face, there's just hardly any room for them to do that because their club face is either so open or so closed that it's just really, really hard for them to hit the middle of the club face. Then I'll start by doing some club face work. And that occasionally happens, especially with your heavy, heavy slicers, people that get the club face wide open and then they swing way outside in and they're leading with the heel of the club. Well, their percentage chance of hitting the middle of the club face, even if trained to hit the middle of the club face, is really, really low because of their impact dynamics. They're leading with the heel, the club is swinging across the ball, and it's just really, really hard. But I would say for 90 to 95% of the population, learning to get the ball airborne consistently first and airborne in a manner that it looks like a nice high golf shot, that's the right thing to be doing. And I'd say for most people, you want to be getting that ball airborne in the beginning stages, you know, 4 to 6 times out of 10, in the latter stages, 6 to 8 times out of 10. And then at the elite stages, obviously getting the ball airborne that looks like a golf shot, that should be a given. Okay, and then finally, what we're going to move into is club face management. So now we're hitting the middle of the club face. Now we're getting the ball airborne. Now we move like a golfer. And now it's time to really hone in on that shot pattern, manage that club face and swing path, and really learn to hone in on our ball flight pattern. And this is a really fun stage to be in because you can be there for a while, and two, you never really master it. You never perfect it. It can always be this perpetual ebb and flow of where you're learning to manage your shots better. You're learning to keep your club face square longer. You're learning about your swing path. You're learning how to own your swing path. You're learning how to own your movement. And it's just a really fun stage. And I'm going to kind of brief over that stage because that's what it is. It doesn't really need much more explanation than that. It's owning your shot pattern. It's managing your club face and being consistent with your contact and continuing to learn and move like a golfer. That's all part of it. And then the final stage for which I consider a person to be in is skill development and ownership. And during this time, all the things that have led us up to this in this hierarchy, we're always managing those things. We're always observing those things. And we're never just saying, hey, you graduated. We're saying, yeah, you've done well, you've done great, but we're still going to monitor those things because if one of those things changes, everything above it changes. Meaning that let's say your basic motion changes. Now you need to reorganize your whole downswing to make your ball do what it did instead of just keeping your basic motion consistent and honing in on it. But then this last stage is, you know, this is where we're going to spend a lifetime. It's skill development. It's mastering your game. It's owning your game. It's course management. It's making better decisions. It's the top of the pyramid. But as the top of the pyramid, you never really get into the top. You're always just scratching away trying to figure out, you know, what are you the worst at? How do you get better at the things that you're the worst at so they have the highest net impact on your game? And then all the meanwhile, monitoring all those things that we worked on leading up to that point. So that's my decision-making framework. I hope that helps for you. I hope it helps you make cleaner decisions, faster decisions, and just kind of prioritize what you need to work on. Because I think with today's modern technology and a lot of information out there, a lot of people are getting pretty darn good at looking at golf swings and saying, yeah, my swing stinks because I swing outside in, my club face is open, my grip is weak, you know, I don't shift my weight. But that's just it. It's a laundry list. And if you go to the range with a laundry list, but you don't have a priority list of what you want to work on first, you're not going to get anything done. Trust me, I've seen way too many golfers spin their wheels because they're always trying to do something else and they never just stick to the fundamentals. They never get the basic motion right. They never get the ball airborne consistently. And then they don't understand how to manage their club face. And then they're not allowed to even graduate onto skill development because they haven't done the work leading up to that point. Is that the only system for decision making? No, I think there are many, many ways you could do it. There's definitely more than one way to go about your business, but that's mine. That's what I found has worked best. That's what I found to be most successful in retaining skills, building skills, and long-term sustainability. There's certainly other ways you could do it, but I think no matter what, it's important that you have a system, you have a reason for making your decisions. And if there was nothing else you took out of this, that's what it is. It's just to have a reason for why you make your decisions. Why are you changing your grip? Why are you working on your weight shift? Why are you doing these things? And if you have a reason, that's great. You have a purpose, you have an intention. Dude, we're rolling. Anyway, this is what it's all about, guys. You know, this is the kind of community I want to build. I want to build a community of people that are free thinking, that are hard workers, that want to work on their game in the right order of operations and just go about their business like business, you know, not throwing stuff against the wall, but making educated decisions. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for listening. I want to thank you for being exactly who you are. Thanks for coming to this podcast. Do me a favor. If you find some value in this stuff, share it with a friend. I never understood that when I started listening to free media. Free is kind of a funny term, but somebody somewhere, we're making this stuff just in hopes that, you know, you guys like it and we'll share it. And then we can help grow our mission, grow our reach. And just, especially in my case, I just want to reach more people. I see way too many golfers that are frustrated and confused and they don't need to be. Golf should be fun. Let's make it that way. I will catch you all back here. Same time, same place next week.